Macmillan Audio presents Shall We Tell the President? By Jeffrey Archer. Read for you by Lorelei King. Tuesday afternoon, 20 January. 12:26 p.m.
I, Florentina Kane, do solemnly swear.
I, Florentina Kane, do solemnly swear
that I will faithfully execute the office of the President of the United States.
That I will faithfully execute the office of the President of the United States.
And will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States, so help me God.
And will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States, so help me God. Her hand still resting on the Douay Bible, the 43rd President smiled at the First Gentleman. It was the end of one struggle and the beginning of another. Florentina Kane knew about struggles. Her first struggle had been to be elected to Congress, then the Senate, and finally, 4 years later, when she had become the first woman Vice President of the United States. After a fierce primary campaign, she had only narrowly managed to defeat Senator Ralph Brooks on the fifth ballot at the Democratic National Convention in June. In November, she survived an even fiercer battle with a Republican candidate, a former congressman from New York. Florentina Kane was elected president by 105,000 votes, a mere 1%, the smallest margin in American history, smaller even than the 118,000 that John F. Kennedy had gained over Richard Nixon back in 1960. While the applause died down, the president waited for the 21-gun salute to come to an end. Florentina Kane cleared her throat and faced 50,000 attentive citizens on the Capitol Plaza, and 200 million more somewhere out there beyond the television transmitters. There was no need today for the blankets and heavy coats which normally accompanied these occasions. The weather was unusually mild for late January, and the crowded, grassy area facing the east front of the Capitol, although soggy, was no longer white from the Christmas snow. Vice President Bradley, Mr. Chief Justice, President Carter, President Reagan, Reverend Clergy, fellow citizens. The First Gentleman looked on, smiling occasionally to himself as he recognized some of the words and phrases he had contributed to his wife's speech. Their day had begun at about 6:30 a.m. Neither had slept very well after the splendid pre-inaugural concert given in their honor the previous evening. Florentina Kane had gone over her presidential address for the final time, underlining the salient words in red, making only minor changes. When she rose that morning, Florentina wasted no time in selecting a blue dress from her wardrobe. She pinned on the tiny brooch her first husband Richard had given her just before he had died. Every time Florentina wore that brooch, she remembered him. How he had been unable to catch the plane that day because of a strike by maintenance workers, but still hired a car to be sure he could be by Florentina's side when she addressed the Harvard commencement. Richard never did hear that speech, the one Newsweek described as a launching pad for the presidency, because by the time she had reached the hospital, he was dead. She snapped back into the real world of which she was the most powerful leader on earth, but still without enough power to bring Richard back. Florentina checked herself in the mirror. She felt confident. After all, she had already been president for nearly 2 years since the unexpected death of President Parkin. Historians would be surprised to discover that she had learned of the president's death while trying to sink a 4-foot putt against her oldest friend and future husband, Edward Winchester. They had both stopped their match when the helicopters had circled overhead. When one of them had landed, a Marines captain had jumped out and run toward her, saluted, and said, "Madam President, the President is dead." Now the American people had confirmed that they were willing to continue living with a woman in the White House.